and welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry, and we're coming in, as usual, on the rhythms of Michael Franti, one of my favorite musicians and people on the planet. And I want to start this morning by just really acknowledging a lot of communications I've gotten in this last week. These last couple of shows I've done have really stimulated a variety of thoughts and feelings, which is really one of the things I'm wanting. And in particular, these last couple of shows have been conversation around addiction, and in particular, this last week, talking more about the aspect of addiction that relates to who I am, personal identity, and that the, should we say, most common or mainstream or traditional forms, 12-step programs and so forth that deal with addiction work very effectively at certain levels, but in my view over the years have also brought people to a point where there's a limitation that's built into the system, but at least potentially, depending on how you work the 12 steps, which is when you're affirming over and over, I am an addict, that there's a level of identity that is really a lie that is perpetuated, and that stimulated, you know, people who are very protective of 12-step programs, and I recognize why that would be. Got a little defensive about that and gave me some feedback about that. And I talked last week about through NLP, which I've been in a certification course studying these last couple of weeks, how that sense of personal identity fits into the bigger picture. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback in the last week about that additional piece and expanding that conversation. So thank you so much all who have fed that back into the process. One of the questions I had this week was wondering why I was doing so much talking about this NLP thing this last week. You know, aren't you a hypnotherapist? And so I just wanted to clarify that in the first place, NLP and hypnotherapy are what you might call very close cousins. NLP was really created partly out of study of a very prominent hypnotherapist, Milton Erickson. And I've been using NLP techniques as part of my practice for many, many years, but I'd never really had a comprehensive training in it, and I've had this wonderful gift of studying with Patrick Singleton these last couple of weeks, and now have a comprehensive training and certification in NLP to add to what I've already been doing in my practice. And it's really been fantastic because it's not only been learning techniques, but it's been a very personal process. Anytime you learn something like hypnotherapy or NLP, everybody who's learning it is practicing on each other and working with real issues throughout the process. So I've been through a little of my own, you know, personal Roto-Rooter process these last couple of weeks, and I'm sitting in an interesting place, which I would describe as feeling more like myself than I have perhaps in a long time, and some of that feels unfamiliar. That's a common way that people will talk about, you know, more of what you might call a reclaiming of their true sense of self. And so the questions about, you know, what's NLP versus hypnotherapy, don't you do this, don't you do that? And it's really, for me, it's really all about, you know, there are forms and practices that are really all coming out of direct human experience, coming to know ourselves in a more clear, essential way. And so whether you talk in terms of self-education and exploration or therapeutic kind of practices or spiritual explorations or scientific evaluation, to me, it's all about us coming to know ourselves, whether it's a sense of who I am individually or that sense that so many people have of a larger sense of self that we are all a part of or that connects through us. And so being open and eclectic in what we explore and what we draw from has, for a very long time, been my orientation, one of the things that I'm always recommending to my clients, because we have a way of getting attached to a certain form that we may have some kind of insight or aha or breakthrough about, and then we go, oh, that's the thing, and we get attached to that, and sometimes then limit ourselves to some greater possibility. And so in that bent, this morning, we're going to expand the conversation and take it a little different direction as well. I have a wonderful guest today who will probably be familiar to many of you. His name is Levi Ben Shmuel. He's been associated for quite some time until more recently with the Transitions Radio program that's on our sister station, KBAC. And he's here today to talk about Tai Chi Chuan, about Kabbalah, about recent project that he's completed and is involved in promoting and expressing out into the world. He blends his intimate knowledge of Tai Chi Chuan and Kabbalah to create unique, uplifting spiritual voice. He teaches those. He's a co-creator of something called Sulam Chi, a dance of life. It's a movement form that integrates the energies of Tai Chi Chuan and Kabbalah's mystical tree of life. He's also a singer-songwriter and a writer. He has a debut CD called Take a New Road, which he describes as a joyous celebration of the inner journey toward freedom. He's a featured blogger on the Huffington Post. Good morning, Levi. Welcome to A Matter of the Mind.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to be here with you.
Great. Delighted to have you.
Thank you.
So tell me a little about, you know, your journey, not only what you're involved in right now, but you've been through many different aspects of both personal education and life path along the way. If you were to talk a little about how you kind of come to where you are and what you're focused on right now, how would you talk about that?
Sure. I'd go back to an experience I had at a very young age where I had some experience of spirit, however you want to frame what spirit is. And as a little boy, I knew there was more to the world than what I saw through my eyes and experienced in my day-to-day life. And from that time, I had this burning desire that was stronger at certain times, less at others, to find out what that something else is that is a more internal, more mystical experience of us being alive and being on this planet. So I went to college like most people do. I wound up becoming a software developer. I got a master's degree from MIT in economic development along the way. So I had a very rigorous academic logical side that was very much a part of me, but this other side never let go. I discovered Tai Chi in the mid-80s. I was living in Boston at the time. And Boston was one of those centers of New Age exploration. There was so much going on there. There was something about Tai Chi that I fell in love with. I didn't quite know what it was till I experienced my main teacher doing an exercise that's called push hands, where one works directly with the internal energy, the chi, the life force energy, with another person. And he did a demonstration that just blew my mind. He was just doing these very subtle little movements with somebody. Then in the next second, this guy flew across the room 15 to 20 feet away and bounced off the opposite wall of the room.
Wow.
And that's what I said. I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to find out what it is.
Now, that's a very different representation of Tai Chi than I have just a very limited experience with Tai Chi. And then there's what I've, you know, see people practicing and see represented in movies and so forth. And that's a very different expression of Tai Chi than what I have personally experienced before.
Absolutely. I don't know how many people know, but Tai Chi Chuan, the translation that I'm familiar with, means supreme ultimate fist. It is a martial art. It was created as a martial art. Over the last few years, a lot of people that have gotten into Tai Chi do it for health reasons, which is a wonderful application of Tai Chi principles and Tai Chi movement forms.
Yes.
But I went to a martial arts school, and what my teacher was demonstrating was the ability to manipulate life force energy in a self-defense kind of way.
Wow. Okay, well... we're going to be talking more about this fist of life. Is that what you call it?
Supreme ultimate fist.
Supreme ultimate fist. And how that relates to Kabbalah. And okay, this is going to be interesting. You are tuned into A Matter of the Mind. And we are streaming on SantaFe.com.
Talk 1260 KTRC.
We'll be right back. We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Levi Ben Shmuel, and we're talking about some powerful energy here, and his creation of Sulam Chi, what he calls Dance of Life, which is blending, drawing from Tai Chi and Kabbalah. If you want to check out his website while we're talking and have that as a reference for some of what he's talking about, Levi is L-E-V-I, Ben is B-E-N, Shmuel is S-H-M-U-E-L, so it's L-E-V-I-B-E-N-S-H-M-U-E-L.com, and you can check out some things there while we're talking.
All right.
So you had this very powerful experience about energy through what you were learning about Tai Chi, and that got your attention.
It sure did. So to kind of condense the story a little bit so we can talk about more than just my story.
Yes.
I became a dedicated student of Tai Chi in Boston for a number of years and learned wonderful things through Tai Chi. One of the main principles of Tai Chi is relaxation, but staying incredibly focused while you're relaxed to experience what's going on the inside as well as what's going on the outside. Because remember, I learned Tai Chi as a martial art, so you needed both sides to be able to manipulate Chi, the life force energy, in an application way.
So what might be called a mindful orientation? Is that an appropriate way to refer to it?
A lot of people like to call Tai Chi meditation in motion,
mm-hmm.
and it very much is a mindfulness practice. One of the classic sayings of Tai Chi is the mind leads the Chi. So wherever you put your mind, that is where your energy is going to go.
Okay, which fits into, you know, probably one of the main themes of the show is that it's all about attention. You know, where attention is going is where influence flows. Well, influence and experience flowing, happening. So
absolutely. And one wonderful thing about movement forms is you're bringing all of yourself into play. It's not just at the level of mind,
mm-hmm.
but you're fully bringing your body into it and your spirit as well. It's one thing I love about these kinds of practices.
Yeah, which I love because that, you know, often there's the idea of meditation that it's a way of removing oneself from quote-unquote reality. When then I would say, well, what's the point of that unless it's going to assist you in being fully engaged in reality? So that speaks to me.
Exactly. So again, you know, to engage a Tai Chi practice is to fully be present, be mindful, be relaxed, and be ready to respond to life in the clearest way one can.
Okay. So how does Kabbalah come into this?
Okay. So to cut to the chase, as far as I say Kabbalah is a fine,
Kabbalah.
It's a fine pronunciation, what you're saying. I'm doing the straight Hebrew pronunciation.
Okay.
You got a nice variation on it, and it's fine. You say it your way, I'll say it.
Well, that's the way I've heard it pronounced.
Yeah.
But as I said, this is an area I'm not familiar with it, and I love having someone on who's teaching me as we go along
okay.
here. So.
So after a few years of being a dedicated student of Tai Chi, I realized it was not going to get me to my true goal, which was to meet that something bigger that I experienced as a child. I like to call that something bigger God, the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Tai Chi was teaching me a lot. I was learning how to manipulate energy in a certain way, but it wasn't the full experience I wanted. I moved to Israel in the summer of 1991, and I'm not going to go into the story of how that happened. I stayed there for over 9 years. I'm a dual citizen of Israel and the United States. Mm-hmm. And while living in Israel, I was introduced to my Kabbalah teacher in Jerusalem. And at that stage, I was still very much a dedicated student of Tai Chi and was a Tai Chi teacher at that point in Israel. But I wanted that something greater,
yeah, that's
that
an
deeper
interesting picture.
Connection to spirit,
yeah.
and quite honestly, a deeper connection to love.
Mm.
I met this woman. She was called Hadassah Ben Yishai at that point. And the second she started talking about how she approached Kabbalah, how she approached God, I was captivated. Because she talked about having a divine romance with the Creator. I had never heard that term used before, and I knew this is what I really wanted. I wanted to have my own intimate love relationship with the divine. And she used Kabbalah, the Jewish mystical path, as her teaching tool to help one clear away what's in the way to have that kind of intimate relationship with the Creator.
You know, the only place I have run across that kind of orientation before is in reading Rumi. Are you familiar with Rumi?
Very much so.
Would you describe that as a similar kind
Absolutely.
Of
Rumi
or relationship?
Talks okay. about the intoxication of that love relationship with the divine and being lost in that love. Turns out that's what I really wanted.
just that.
Yeah. So that was back in 96 that I met her, became a dedicated student of Kabbalah. And in 1999, one of her students had the inspiration to create some kind of movement form using Kabbalah's Tree of Life, which is an energetic map of divine energy flowing through us as well as everything else, and have a Kabbalistic movement form to embody these energies. He came to me knowing I was a Tai Chi teacher, and together we figured out what I now call Sulam Chi, which means Sulam in Hebrew is ladder. So ladder of life force energy is what I call this very simple seven movement form that embodies these mystical energies of Kabbalah into very simple Tai Chi-like movements.
And so this has brought you then to teaching that.
Exactly. And I'll mention it right now. I'm going to be teaching it in a few weeks at Santa Fe Soul on May 12th. I'll be having a workshop on Sulam Chi, so we can give the details out later. But as well as teaching Yang-style Tai Chi, which I do, I have a Kabbalah class as well. I also give workshops on Sulam Chi.
And you have a DVD as well.
Yeah, just I am so thrilled with this DVD. It was finished a few months ago. As we were talking off mic, everything came together to produce this beautiful representation of the energy of what this is about. I'm sorry you didn't have a chance to see it before we met, to hear what you feel about it energetically. But the feedback I've gotten has been tremendous. It's an instructional DVD, but I also have segments where I just do it with my music underneath it, this beautiful location, to give someone a deep experience of this relaxing, peaceful, spiritual energy that lives within us and that we're surrounded by.
And you have YouTube video as well that people can track down online.
Exactly,
and,
yeah. Via my website.
Get a little sample of as well.
The YouTube clips.
Yeah.
Music clips, yeah.
So a little earlier, kind of when we were break, you were mentioning that kind of how I introduced the show, that you were relating to some of what I said in terms of Sulam Chi and so forth.
Yeah.
And identity and true self. And how does that relate to you in terms of both your personal experience, how you came into this, and what you teach?
What sparked me when you were talking in the intro was this question of who am I? And from your own experience working with NLP the last few weeks of getting beat up enough to clear away some things that might be in the way of you reconnecting to who you truly are.
Yes.
So I found along the path that I've been on the last few decades that the work very much is about clearing away the misconceptions, the old beliefs, the old patterns that we tend to hold on to and that are embedded in our bodies. It's not just a mental thing. Because, as you know, there is no separation between mind and body. I mean, we use these terms all the time, but in some sense, they create more of a problem than a benefit that if, as you were saying earlier, we get caught in concepts or practices that we think this is it. And so this notion of mind-body, well, there is no mind-separate body. It's the same thing manifest in different ways. So through a practice like Sulam Chi, which is a very simple, easy-to-learn practice, one can very quickly get into an energetic state with this relaxed kind of focus that is the hallmark of Tai Chi to be freed up from some of these constraints that typically get in the way from touching who we really are.
Get in the way from touching who we really are. Now that phrase speaks to me as well, both in the metaphorical sense, but in an actual sense. So part of what moving through this NLP course in the last couple of weeks has, that I would say there's a lot that has already been familiar with me. A lot of the experience has been in reaffirming or clarifying what I already know and already have a sense of connection with, which is often how I hear clients or students in the area of self-exploration talk about their own personal process. That seems to be a very universal kind of comment in the process. It's like, you know, I was living out of something that was false. I came into connection with what's more true and realized I already knew that. It wasn't really like reclaiming or recovering something. It was more like remembering something that I really already knew was true. Well, the rational side of us kind of goes, huh? That doesn't make sense. But part of the experience is in learning how to discern what is very available and useful and powerful and natural that is not rational and yet is still very intelligent. That's kind of what I hear you, uh-huh. you talking about in terms of movement and connection with body. So when we come back, I want to talk a little more about, and I want to talk in particular about Kabbalah, since it's particularly, personally, I'm not that familiar with it, and how that fits into the picture. We're listening to A Matter of the Mind on Talk 1260 KTRC. If you want to call into the show when we come back, the number here is 505-474-8255. We're streaming here on SantaFe.com.
Getting your prescription filled at the Big Box Pharmacy.
Your approximate wait time in line is 30 minutes.
What's your birth date and where do I put it? What did you say your name is?
We're not a big box pharmacy. We're Tom and Francis Lovett, owners of Nambe Drugs, servicing Santa Fe, Los Alamos, and Española.
Nambe Drugs, serving you since 1976, is your neighborhood pharmacy, filling your prescription needs with very kind personal care.
Are you affected by the lack of availability of your pain gel or other medication? Is your insurance company telling you there are no alternatives?
Nambe Drugs has the answers. A state-of-the-art, exclusively pharmacist-only compounding lab, providing customized medications.
Call 455-2256 and experience the results we deliver.
Medications that simply work better for you, our valued customer. Call in your order at 455-2256. That's just great service at 455-2256. Nambe Drugs, because we believe personal service is the best medicine since 1976.
No money down, no payment for 90 days, top dollar for your trade. No credit, no problem, huge vehicle selection. Sierra Santa Fe Buick GMC, your new hometown dealer, is ready to cut your car payment in half. During their pre-owned sales event, April 25th through April 30th, drive away for as low as $94 a month. Huge amounts of new and pre-owned vehicles are ready for immediate sale at super low prices. Cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, along with a sales staff dedicated to providing you with a great buying experience. Stop in and see them at Sierra Santa Fe Buick GMC April 25th through April 30th for friendly service and unmatched low prices. If you're thinking about a new vehicle, then it's got to be Sierra Santa Fe Buick GMC. Go see them today at 2721 Sirius Road or go to SierraSantaFeBuickGMC.com. You'll be glad you did.
Sierra Santa Fe Buick GMC, your new hometown dealer.
OAC, State Employee CU, stock number 52236A+.
Everybody's talking about premier pre-owned vehicles in the Santa Fe Auto Park. Here's one reason. An 06 Subaru Impreza, only 63,000 miles for under $13,000. Right now, we have plenty of fuel-efficient certified Hondas, Subarus, VWs, and domestic cars in stock and ready for delivery, like this 09 Honda Fit. It's certified and gets great gas mileage for only $13,500. Just $13,500 for a certified Honda.
Come see Jim and our staff, and I promise we'll put a smile on your face.
Find your next vehicle at PremierSantaFe.com.
He doesn't make reservations. He expresses them with a vengeance. His sauces simmer on their own. He is the most interesting chef in the world.
I don't always cook Italian, but when I do, I cook at Il Piatto.
Il Piatto, Italian farmhouse kitchen, one block north of the plaza on Marcy Street. Serving dinner 7 nights, lunch 11:30 to 4:30, Monday through Saturday.
Half price happy hour, 4:30 to 6 p.m. daily.
Talk 1260, KTRC.
We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Levi Ben-Shmuel and If you want to join the conversation here, just a reminder that you are invited and welcome to join us. The number here is 505-474-8255. And I know you're out there because I run into you around town and places. And I say, well, you know, if you listen, how can you call into the show? And you're like, oh, no, I could never hear my voice on the air or whatever. So, you know, maybe today could be your breakthrough day about that. We'd love to hear from you. So before we went on a little break, there was something about what I said. You said that sparked something for you.
Whole notion of dealing with the question of who am I? And as you were saying, when one does some kind of process and works with uncovering what might be in the way,
yes,
of getting in touch with this, the answer of who am I, you say many times your experience with your clients, with yourself, it's not like this discovery of, oh my God, I didn't know I was this. It's like, yeah. I knew that. There's this remembering, as you said, that's been your experience. So when you said that, it reminded me of, especially as I get older and have a few decades of experience to look back on.
Yeah.
And as I've talked to older people over the years in, you know, 70s, 80s, everybody says the same thing. I know who I am, the same person. That's been the refrain, is a little kid, in some sense, we know who we are, and that knowing follows us as we go through the decades. Mm-hmm. And I think you're exactly right there. It's a question of remembering who we are rather than this discovering who we are. I mean, maybe it's a subtle difference, but I think that is the case.
Yeah, yeah, a discovery process. But that's often the way people describe the result of the describing. Well, it's like I've you know, remembered something that I always knew.
And it's an incredibly exciting journey to go on that discovery process. It's wonderful,
yes,
to find out things that we thought were really who we are. It turns out it was just something layered over.
Yeah, something layered over, something accepted or interpreted earlier in life out of certain experiences. Sometimes outright lies. One of my repetitive litanies with clients and on the show is that along the way in teaching and guiding other people, you know, often I have the experience that, you know, I do a session with someone and afterwards I feel like, you know, I'm not sure who was the one who got the most benefit out of this session and who was teaching who, because I learned so much from witnessing and being a part of facilitating what people are involved in and exploring and uncovering their sense of true self.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, that discovery, there is a sense of unfamiliarity that people will often describe about when they come more into, oh, yeah, of course, this is who I really am. I'm having a more of a complete experience about that now. And this is kind of what I'm sitting in right now. Yeah, I know this is who I've always been. I know... How do I describe it? I'm remembering something I've always known, but there's a certain degree of unfamiliarity about what it is that I'm now in touch with, which tells me what has been familiar has not been true.
Correct.
And so that's brought me to this sense that, wow, we are such powerfully creative beings, or are beings that are part of such powerful creativity that we can create compellingly real experience, even at the level of who I am, out of lies, out of complete misinformation.
Right. And one of the fun things is once you've, you know, uncovered the lies and are willing to let them go, mm-hmm, and then engage life in a different way, mm-hmm, there is this freedom,
yes,
that is remarkable, of a world of options that's opened up to be a different way, you know, in reality, in relationship to other people, that is just an incredible feeling of realizing I have many more options than I thought I did.
Yeah. And so then the reference you were talking about earlier in the show to the woman who is your teacher of Kabbalah.
A Kabbalah teacher, yes.
Tell me her name again.
Okay. Well, full disclosure, her name was Hadassah Ben Yishai. She is now my wife.
I kind of knew that.
Matananda Ben Shmuel.
Yes. Yes. And your description of this relationship to spirit and sense of self in terms of something that's romantic in,
yes,
in quality and so forth.
Yes.
You
I
know,
mean,
and people talk about ecstatic kind of experiences in terms that in another context would easily be related to someone talking about romantic experience of falling in love with someone and sexual energy and all that sort of thing. And yet we're talking about relationship to spirit. You know, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's that's a great point you bring up, because you don't have the option of expressing that love in physicality in a sexual way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anybody wants to call in and tell me how to do it, I'd like to hear how you pull that one off. But, you're dealing with pure spirit and being yes. in love, obviously in a non-sexual way, but there might be overtones of that energy as well. I mean, as we talked earlier, Rumi writing about
yes.
his own experience, it's ecstatic love.
Yes.
And there's a sexual connotation to it.
And even Bible, Song of Solomon, there are passages in there that have very similar qualities and tones.
Absolutely. Right? But again, you don't have the option of expressing it in physicality as you would in a human relationship.
Yes.
So there is this touching, an essential part of yourself in a beautiful way that is hard to describe until you've had that experience. I mean, Rumi, the poetry, all this stuff, they're wonderful guideposts to point us in the direction and spark us to do that exploration ourselves.
Yes. So I can have some sense of that in terms of Tai Chi and life force energy. How does Kabbalah fit into the picture? Okay. I know very little about that.
Yeah. Kabbalah, the Hebrew word Kabbalah, means to receive. So what are we yearning to receive? It's this experience of unconditional love that, in my experience of Kabbalah and the Jewish mystical path, the unconditional love that the Creator offers us is available to anyone, regardless of who you think you are, what you think you've done to make you think you don't deserve that
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
So Kabbalah is very much about clearing whatever is in the way of allowing oneself to receive that unconditional love and reciprocate it. The mystical tree of life is the form that my teacher used and the form that I use in Sulam Chi and in my Kabbalah classes. And it's a beautiful lattice-like structure. I don't have a diagram to show you right here. And there are 10 energy centers that make up the structure, and they're connected in different ways. Each one of the 10 is an emanation of divine energy. Each energy center has different characteristics, positive and negative, names of God, colors associated to it, and they're all mapped to the body in a very specific pattern. So through working with these energies, and this is what I do in Sulam Chi, you consciously embody aspects of the divine in your own body to awaken, get in touch with these energies, and fully live them.
So there is a physical aspect to Kabbalah as well, then.
That's right. That's right.
So what does exploration and practice in that area look like?
Well, in my experience, when I was a student of Kabbalah, what my teacher would do is she'd tune in, as I'm sure you do yourself with the clients you work with, you mm-hmm. tune into where the person's at, and using her guidance and her own connection to spirit, she would typically use a verse from the Bible, the Torah, one of the Jewish texts, and through that verse, get in touch with a specific energy that she felt needed to be worked on.
Mm.
Whether it was an issue related to setting boundaries, or an issue related to how willing am I to give, or how much am I in truth. All these energies, again, map to specific parts of the body, and then to work with that energy through meditation. She didn't use movement in her classes. That's where Sulam Chi has come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then use names of God, mapped to these different energy centers in Hebrew, which I also do in Sulam Chi. Many people are familiar with Hindu chants and the power of repeating names of God in
yes.
different traditions.
Yes.
So we have that also in Kabbalah. And to deeply connect to these energies, and again, discover what is in the way of me manifesting this aspect of the divine through myself in as clear and a pure way as I can.
So I'm hearing then that study of Kabbalah is, I mean, I was having a picture in my mind kind of like a, or should we say a more classic class in religious study, where there's reference to scripture, there's interpretation of that, and the teacher is helping students come to a clearer understanding of that. But I'm hearing you describe something that may include some of that, but is very personally interactive.
Oh, absolutely.
And very much very personal process oriented.
Yes. The image you have is a typical image of, you know, the intellectual, more book side of Kabbalah. But no, this Hadassah was all about your own direct experience of the divine within yourself. And that is what I teach, and teach might not even be the right word. I try to share the experience of the energy with people. That's what I'm about, whether I'm teaching Tai Chi, teaching Kabbalah, teaching Sulam Chi, singing. I want to be a channel of this energy as I can manifest it so people can have that experience within themselves.
Fantastic. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about Sulam Chi and what's personally available to all of you. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're on Talk 1260 KTRC, and we're streaming on SantaFe.com.
And they're off. The greatest 2 minutes in sports. The Kentucky Derby Day event fundraiser for Southwest Care Center will be held Saturday, May 5th from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at La Posada de Santa Fe. The event raises money to support medical needs of people living with HIV/AIDS in New Mexico. This New Mexico version of an old Southern tradition coincides with the 138th running of the Kentucky Derby, which can be viewed on large screen TVs. There'll be an auction, mint juleps, champagne and margaritas in celebration of Cinco de Mayo, lavish Southern buffet, music by the Route 66 Revelers Jazz Band, and a hat parade and contest. Buy your tickets now at southwestcare.org or by calling the Southwest Care Center's office at 505-216-1541.
Tune in to All Things Real Estate, heard Sundays at noon on Talk 1260 KTRC. This Sunday, join host Ray Post from the 22nd Annual Remodeler Showcase and Expo at the Schellenberger Tennis Center, located at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. We'll have guest panelists speaking to the latest trends in home remodeling. For information, call 982-1774. That's 982-1774. And join us at noon on Sunday at the Remodeler Showcase and Expo on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Want more from your playtime? Want to peg the fun meter?
Okay.
More rewards and slot play. Prizes, points, and jackpots?
Okay.
Want it all? Okay. More of what you want. Like the Toys of Summer giveaway. Three big winners will choose from a selection of summertime toys from Santa Fe Motorsports. Or a share of $15,000 in cash. Up for grabs, a Kawasaki Mule, a Kawasaki Prairie, Suzuki Boulevard, or Yamaha TW200. Qualifying drawings on April 29th, May 26th, and June 30th. See Winners Club for details. Management reserves all rights. OK Hotel Casino, where the fun never ends. Conveniently located between Santa Fe and Taos on Highway 68. Call for hotel reservations now. 1-877-747-1668. Or visit OK.com. That's OHKAY.com.
OK, take me away.
Talk 1260. KTRC.
We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with with Levi Ben Shmuel. We're talking about Sulam Chi. And tell us more about what you have coming up. Introductions, workshops, opportunities for people to have a more personal exposure and experience about Sulam Chi.
Be happy to do that. So it turns out this afternoon at the Chavez Center on Rodeo Road, there is a celebration of World Tai Chi and Qigong Day. This is something that's happening all over the world today. It's been going on since 1999, that lovers of Tai Chi and Qigong, which is a similar Chinese art, meet to share knowledge and for everyone to come experience it if you have no idea what it is and join in. So this afternoon at the Chavez Center, around 1 o'clock, I'll be giving a demonstration of Sulam Chi. It's free. open to everybody. So I welcome anyone to come down and say hello and see Sulam Chi. The DVD that I recently produced about Sulam Chi will be available at the Chavez Center this afternoon. And in a few weeks, on Saturday, May 12th at Santa Fe Seoul, where I teach my Tai Chi and Kabbalah classes, I'll be giving a workshop on Sulam Chi from 10 till 1:30. Again, that's Saturday, May 12th. And I will teach the entire set of movements. As I mentioned earlier, there are 7 movements. It's a very simple form. We'll talk about the Kabbalistic energy that's embedded in Sulam Chi, as well as learning some fundamental Tai Chi principles to learn how to move in this relaxed, focused kind of way.
Now, if there are other people out there listening who might be a little like I have often tended to be in my life, who go, you know, I don't need, you know, if there's a DVD, there's something, I don't need to go to somebody who's going to, like, you know, teach me something where I can just watch it and I know how to do stuff. I can do it myself. What would be the advantage and the invitation to coming and being in a class for the introduction or whatever else comes with that personal exposure?
Yeah, I think with just about anything, there are subtleties one can't get from a book or a DVD. You can only get certain things in person. And as we've been talking during the show, and as you talk every week, this is very much about energy. Yeah. Whether it be the energy of the mind, the energy of the body, the mind-body together. So to have the direct experience of seeing it with all of yourself in real time, and then picking up these subtleties that are very difficult to do in other ways, as well as the ability to ask questions and clarify things, is, I think, invaluable. I mean, I welcome anyone, of course, to purchase the DVD. You can get it via my website as well. It's available online. And start out that way.
Yeah, sure.
It's, you know, it's a great thing.
But having a more in-the-moment feedback system, you know, the universe is always available here to give us feedback if we're willing to be available to it. It's a funny thing how sometimes we get very selective and picky about which feedback we want to pay attention to and connect ourselves to, and which feedback we go, no, that feedback, that's bad, that's wrong, that's painful, that's whatever. And in this case, I would imagine the energy of the class is quite delightful.
Absolutely. I mean, people report back to me, it just feels so good to be in the room doing this together and learning how to do it. And on the level of feedback, it's funny how sometimes we think we're doing something quote-unquote correctly, but we're not. So to have somebody, especially in my case, the person that co-created this, point out, you know, I think you should move just a little bit differently and it'll feel better. I mean, that's the whole point. You'll have a better experience. Mm. That's another great thing about showing up.
Yeah, certainly in my professional work and practice, and in some ways I relate to this almost more personally than in talking about clients and students that I've worked with and so forth, we can get very attached to kind of working an area of, you know, there is the orientation of I'm going to avoid what's uncomfortable and of discomfort. And once we kind of move a little beyond that paradigm to recognize, well, where there's discomfort, what if that's really communicating opportunity?
Right.
Well, then there can be the kind of limiting orientation of, okay, that means wherever there's discomfort, I'm going to really get in there and I'm going to work that discomfort. I'm going to stay in there and I'm going to push through it and I'm going to work it and I'm so forth. And I think there can be benefit in that orientation in some respects, but that can also become kind of a paradigm that just perpetuates staying in some orientation to discomfort or suffering and so forth. And what if the point of that is to just indicate, oh, that's off track. That's just communication about what's off track, and we can use that to come back to on track, which, as you're describing, is more of a sense of something that moves with more grace, more ease, feels better.
Exactly.
Feels better is a communication of on track.
Yeah, and to also have the sensitivity that timing is everything. It might not be the time to work through that discomfort. You know, the first step is to recognize it, and okay, now I acknowledge it, but to really be sensitive to one's own process and flow, and know if this is the right time to work through something or it's for a later time, I think is also important as well.
So we don't have really enough time to get into this, but I have to tell you, I'm a little curious about your story with your wife. Probably because I love that. Maybe we'll have the two of you guys come back sometime. You know, the first Saturday of each month, my wife comes on the show and we do a relationship-oriented show. And I love stories about relationship where there is a beautiful blending of personal path that fits into a larger context of maybe what you're here to do in service or teach in the world or do professionally that meets and blends with romance and love relationship and coming into life path together. To me, there's something that's beautifully inviting as well as guiding, instructive to all of us in that area. So
if you'd love to,
we'll talk a little.
Okay, we can talk about that. Of course, I'd have to get my wife's permission.
Of course,
but
of course, if she's listening, no pressure out there. We have a lot of fun here.
So. But yeah, I'm totally open to that. I'd love to do that.
So we've got a few minutes left here. Anything else? Any little gems, little invitations, little pokes that you could offer to our listeners from particularly, you know, your personal path of both coming into a more, should we say, a clear sense of presenting Sulam Chi to the world and the DVD project and what you're teaching. What would you offer to people about that or invite?
I'll tell you, when you mentioned that, what popped in was something that I shared with the world recently in a little video clip that I made for a global video contest on bringing spirit into the workplace. And the video is available on my website, levibenshmuel.com, levibenshmuel.com. And I call the video Stop Working and Start Playing. So let me just end with that notion that within our own lives, as difficult as things might be, and I do not discount the difficulties that we all go through, it's possible to bring a sense of play into ourselves, even with the difficulties, to free ourselves up to, again, have more options and break out of the box, the limited thinking that we might bring to a situation. So I encourage your listeners to don't forget about playing a little bit.
Play.
And just, yeah. I'm not talking about it in a silly way, but you understand what I'm saying, Mark. This kind of joyful energy for the fact that we are here. We're living these lives. They're not going to go on forever. So truly, you know, to the best of our ability to make the most of these moments and bring our joy and our spirit to these moments to help live a fuller life.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's from a point of view of learning something or simply living experience. Yeah, I came to that sense in more experiential forms of education many years ago that it seems like, you know, when people are having fun, their learning happens in such an automatic, graceful, easy way that people no longer have a sense they're trying to learn anything. But later they realize whatever was going on, they remember it really well. It's integrated really well. That seems to be a principle in life, that wherever we can bring more of a sense of playfulness and fun into whatever it is that's going on, the more that happens gracefully and joyfully and in a way that seems to also be more effective, more efficient, more impactful. Why wouldn't we want that?
Exactly. You know? Sounds good.
So if that piques you any in what you want for your next step, you can also find me on the web at amatteroftheMind.com. It's Mark Perry. You can call me here in Santa Fe at 505-920-6149. I provide free consultation, and I've got lots of new tools here to bring to the process that I would love to serve you with. I really appreciate your listening and participating in the show and providing feedback. And I would really invite you at this point to consider what we've talked about in terms of Sulam Chi, in terms of connecting, realizing, remembering true self, and invite you to know that wonderful playfulness in life and sense of freedom and true self, what if that's simply a matter of the mind?